Our text this morning is taken from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, and then we'll skip down, I believe, to verse 7. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were with the prophet in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." And then in verse 7, the writer picks up after Naaman has requested that his king send a letter to the king of Israel concerning his healing. And verse 7 says, "When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to give death or life that this man sends words to me to cure a man of his leprosy?' Just look at, see what's happening here. See how God is trying to, how this man is trying to pick a quarrel with me." And verse 8 says, "But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. 'Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, 'Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean.' But Naaman became angry and went away saying, 'I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?' He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, 'Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, "Wash and be clean"?' So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, 'Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel.'" The word of God for the people of God. The story that our text tells is full of if-onlys. Do you know any other stories like that? Do any of you here have a story like that? My prayer this morning is that in our time together, the Holy Spirit will work with us to help us to open the floodgates of our hearts so that the power of this story will flood into our lives and wash away all the if-onlys. Now, the main character, do you remember what his name was? Naaman. How many of you guys have heard this story before? Okay, there's four. How many of y'all never hold up your hands, no matter what anybody says? Naaman. That's the name of the main character. And Naaman is a man whose life would have been perfect. It would have been wonderful, except for one thing. What was it? Had leprosy. What's missing from your life? What's keeping you from being whole? Sometimes I hear people say, you know, if I just had more money, can I get an amen? I hear other people say, you know, if I could just lose some weight. Years ago when I was younger, people used to tell me all the time, they used to say, you know, someday you're going to be a great preacher. I hear people now after I preach sermons and they say, I remember back when he used to be a really good preacher. If only I had known when that little window of time was. If I were younger, if only I were older, if only it weren't for this student debt, if only I were married, if only I weren't married. If only. Naaman would have had a wonderful life if only he weren't a leper. If only I didn't have cancer. If only my wife didn't suffer. If only. There's a little girl in the story too. A little servant girl. What do you know about her? How did she get into the household? She was a slave. She was a slave. And how did she come to be a slave in this household? Do you remember? She had been captured. By whom? By, what's the main character's name? Naaman. And she comes to her mistress, little Israelite girl, who's been taken from her homeland, who's been taken possibly from her family. And now she has been pressed into slavery. And this little girl says, if only my lord, Naaman, were with the prophet who is in Samaria, that's Israel, he would cure him of leprosy. I wonder what she's thinking when she says this. I wonder if she was even thinking or if it just came out. You know, I've preached this sermon many times over the years. Preached this text, not necessarily this particular sermon, but I've preached from this text a lot over the years. And usually, I make this little girl into kind of a hero, a heroine, because she gives a good message of hope and of possibility to Naaman and his family. But you know, the last week or so, as I've thought about it, actually it's been more than that. It's been several weeks I've looked at this. I preached from this text a few weeks ago in El Paso too. And as I've kind of lived in the text a little bit, it came to me, maybe she wasn't being so heroic after all. Maybe she was being snarky. How many of y'all know anything about being snarky? Okay, I see that hand. How many of you know anybody who's snarky? Snarky. Little girl who's been pressed into slavery, little girl who's living a life of oppression against her will, and she says, yeah, he's a leper. Maybe you people who think you're all of that, who've taken me away from my homeland, who've been oppressing our people for years, you know, maybe you're not all that after all. If he was in my homeland, he could be healed. Now, I'd call that snarky. What do you think? Well, I don't know if it was snarky or not. But the truth of the matter is that Naaman and Mrs. Naaman took what she had to say seriously. And you know, when you're really sick, you get desperate. Anybody here know anything about that? I remember years ago when Lola's dad had cancer. And that was back in the days when everybody thought that Laetril was a miracle cure. And they believed there was a conspiracy that kept it out of this country and you could only get it in Mexico. And he was on the verge of passing away. They went to Mexico. They traveled to Mexico to get Laetril type treatments. And they did, because they had some shred of hope that maybe this would help. And when you're sick and you come to the end of your rope, you'll do just about anything. And so Naaman, out of this little girl's testimony, whether it was snarky or whether it was sincere, I don't know. But But when she said, if only he were in Israel, you could get healed. He got a letter from his boss. He got a letter from his king. And he carried it to the king of Israel. And his king, the king of Aram, who obviously was pretty powerful, wrote and he said, I want you to heal Naaman. How did the king in Israel respond when he got this letter? Now, I know you may have just heard it read once, but just work with me here, okay? How did he respond? If you got a letter from somebody asking you to heal somebody of cancer, how would you respond? Somebody powerful, how would you respond? Scared. Well, the king of Israel said, if only this other king wasn't trying to start a war with me, my life would be good. It's obvious that this is just a ploy to start a war with us. He was a little bit paranoid. What do you think? Or maybe not. Maybe he had oil. And then he said, if only I were God, I could do this. But I'm not God. And then he said, if only this weren't so hard, I wouldn't think that he was just trying to pick a fight with me. And he felt like he was backed into a corner. And the scripture says he did something. The story tells us, the writer of 2 Kings says he did something. And this is a symbolic act. What did he do? He tore his robe. And boy, I tell you what, when you tear your robe, you're serious. You're upset. That was a cultural way of saying, ah! Well, Elisha opened up his Twitter account the next morning and found out what the king had done. I guess he tweeted about it. And Elisha sent word to the king and he said, why are you tearing your clothes? Send him to me. And I will introduce him to God. Now, Elisha couldn't heal the man any more than the king of Israel could heal the man. But who's able to heal? God is. And Elisha said, send him to me, and I shall introduce him to God. I think that's a great attitude. I love what John the Baptist said about Jesus. People asked John the Baptist, they said, are you the Messiah? Are you the hope of Israel? And John the Baptist said, no, it's not me. He said, there's one coming after me that is what? Do you remember? Greater than I am. I'm not fit to tie his shoes. I'm not fit to carry his baggage. But when he comes, oh, he's going to do great things. And one day when Jesus walked by, John the Baptist saw him, and John the Baptist pointed at him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. What should the message of this church be? Come on. What should our message be? Behold the Lamb of God. She's really good, isn't she? I take her with me everywhere I go. Behold the Lamb of God. And that was Elisha's message. It wasn't, I'm the one, I'm the hope, I'm where it's at. It's about God. If you want healing in your life, if you want wholeness, and see what we're talking about are things that separate us from wholeness, things that keep us from being whole, things that we worry about, things that frustrate us, whether it's not having enough hair, or it's being too young, or being too old, not having enough money, or having too much money, whatever it is. Elisha says, send him to me. I'll introduce him to God. And see, that's the best any of us can do. What do you think? And so he arrives. Naaman does. And instead of getting healed, He gets mad. Why? Why is he mad? He says, if only the prophet had treated me with more respect. He thought the prophet would come out because, after all, here he comes up and he's got this great entourage with him. He's got gold and he's got horses and he's got soldiers and he's all dressed up in his finest. Even though he's a leper, he's looking good. And he said, I thought he would come out and he would treat me like somebody. I thought he would not just send his servant out and tell me what to do, but I thought he would come out here and he would treat me with the proper amount of respect that I'm due. Does he not know how many times we have kicked their, you know what? Does he not know who I am? He didn't get healed, he got mad. If only he had presented with a better bedside manner. How many times have you heard that, doctor? Never, right? Not about yourself, but about those other doctors, right? If only he put on a better show. If only he had impressed me with his appearance and his style. If only he preached a better sermon. Can I get a witness? I would have felt there was something to him. This is a waste of my time. I'm going home. The servants spoke to him. I don't know when they spoke to him, but they spoke to him. You know, it's interesting. I think probably some of the wisest people in this story are who? The servants. Elisha was a servant. The little girl was a servant. The servants of Naaman, they were servants and they were wise. And they spoke to him. And they said, if only you would humble yourself, Father. I think it's interesting how they talked to him. And let's go back to that little girl. I said I think she's snarky, but maybe she wasn't just snarky. Maybe she really did love Naaman. Is it possible that somebody who's bad can also be good? Is it true that human beings are complex? And you know, I think it's interesting. The Bible presents characters in all of the stories. And that's what the Bible is. It's a book of stories. Are you aware of that? It's not a rule book. It's a storybook. And I don't mean that like fairy tales, but I mean it's a book of stories. And it's full of characters that God presents us who are real. And they are multidimensional characters. And Lola said something the other day about someone who had been given a Bible as a gift, and she was visiting with him about it, and it was a child, I think, and she said, it's a really cool gift. It's a great book. There's a lot of wonderful stories in there, and she said, the thing about them is they're real stories. God doesn't gloss over people's character flaws in them, even the ones who are the heroes. Even the heroes have some character flaws. How about David? You guys remember David, King David? He was a hero, right? But he was also kind of an anti-hero too. He did some great things, but he also did some awful things too. And maybe Naaman was like this. Is it possible that somebody who's your oppressor that you can also see good in? And I think God shows us that in the Bible. And that's one of the things that the Lord does for us is he gives us a book that we have to wrestle with. He gives us a book full of stories that we have to really think about. And he speaks to us, and he meets us in those stories, and he teaches us stuff about life and about ourselves and about the people around us. Are there people that you think are just awful, but they're also wonderful? Maybe Naaman was like that. Because these servants of his, they didn't have to approach him and try to talk him into doing what he needed to do to get healed, but they chose to. And that little girl, maybe she had some love for this man too, and I believe that these servants did as well. And they said to Naaman, they said, you know, King, you know, Father, I love that. Father, if he'd asked you to do something hard, you would have done it. But all he asked you to do was go down and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. That's pretty simple. What have you got to lose? What they're saying to him is, if you would just humble yourself, If you would just seek God instead of demanding to be God, you might get something. Come on. If you would follow God to life instead of working so hard to herd God to what you believe life is. And finally, Naaman went down to the muddy Jordan. And notice what he said. He said, why couldn't I wash in one of the rivers in my homeland? You know, my homeland is a lot nicer than Israel. It's a lot better country than Israel is. It's got a lot better rivers in it than Israel. Israel's got this nasty, dirty Jordan. It's not much of a country. And that's kind of what the little girl was saying about Aram. She was saying, you guys aren't all that. And over here, he's saying about Israel, you guys aren't all that. You think God's trying to say something to all of us? Sometimes, what are those chants? Let's see, the Muslims, they say, great is who? Allah. And here in America, what do we chant? USA, USA, USA. Do you see something similar in the story? Do you? Don't answer. Somebody says you've quit preaching and gone to meddling again. So he goes down to the Jordan, and it's a dirty river. And he goes down and he gets in the Jordan, and he dips. How many times? Seven. And it says he comes up what? Clean. I wonder, where are the dirty waters in our lives, in our community, in our world, that God is calling us to dip in? I wonder where the dirty waters are that God is calling First Christian Church to dip in. You know, maybe baptism is one of them. I don't think this is just a story about baptism, but even baptism itself is not just about baptism. I think we need to be careful, though, that when we say this is not just a story about baptism, that we not take baptism out of the equation. And when we say baptism isn't just about baptism, let's not wring all the water out of baptism, okay? Baptism is a gift that God has given us so that we can experience assurance of His forgiveness, so that we can experience the new birth, so that we can be assured that something powerful has been done for us and is being done in our lives and will continue to be done. But baptism isn't just about baptism. He didn't just dip once. Maybe water baptism is the first dip. Is that possible? But maybe God is calling me to forgive somebody of something that I've been holding on to for years. I'm not saying that it's going to guarantee that you get physical healing, but I'm saying that God is able to meet us and we're able to find God, and that's more important than physical healing. What do you think? Maybe He's calling us to confess some sin. That's dirty water. What do you think? Maybe He's calling us to take responsibility for something, to be accountable for something. Maybe not just as individuals, but maybe as a church, maybe as a nation. Boy, I could really meddle some there. Come on. Maybe He's calling us to do what Jim preached about last week as a church. Maybe He's calling us to eat with sinners. Not just on Monday nights. I don't know. What's the point of this story? Is there one? There's probably several. Amen. But maybe it's important for us to understand that God is not just a God of one church, one religion, one nation. But God loves the whole world. And he's calling us to stop believing in a lot of the stuff that we think is where the power is. And learn to open our hearts to him and his grace and his life. But to do that, it means we have to humble ourselves. We have to allow him to be God. I love the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. When Philip shared with him the good news about Jesus, the Ethiopian there in a chariot riding along, he'd asked Philip up in the chariot with him, and they were riding together, and they passed this hole of water, this oasis. And he stopped the chariot, the Ethiopian did. And he was a powerful man too, if you read about him in Acts chapter 8. And he stopped the chariot. He commanded it be stopped. And he looked at Philip, at this church deacon. And he says to Philip, he's been listening to Philip tell him about Jesus. And he said, there's water. What keeps me from being baptized? The Bible says they got out of the chariot. They went down in the water, and Philip baptized him there. And it says he came up out of the water, and if you read Acts, what's that next word it says? How did he come out of the water? Rejoicing. Now, I said a minute ago, it's not just about water. I think it is about water, but it's about more than water. I suggested maybe it's about learning to forgive people. Maybe it's learning to be responsible. Maybe it's learning to love those who are different. How many times did he go down? He went down once, twice, three times, four times, five times, six times, seven times. It's not just an immediate thing. It's a lifestyle.
us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. And you then the prayer will tarny, no little fire is burning. A little talk with Jesus makes it right, all right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus
In Jesus' name, go from this place full of faith, willing to go down to the dirty water that you might be made clean.